Well, the Holy Spirit was poured out in the second chapter of Acts as a fulfillment of a prophecy in the book of Joel. Joel 2:28 said, "My Spirit will be poured out on all mankind, on all flesh, and my sons and daughters will prophesy, my old men will dream dreams, my young men will see visions, even on my men servants and maid servants will my prophecies will prophesy in that day." And so the Holy Spirit was poured out in the second chapter of Acts, and the great and mighty things happened after that. 3,000 people were brought to the Lord in the first real evangelism meeting that Peter preached shortly after that. And many people heard the gospel preached in their own language at a gathering of people from many nations, heard the gospel preached in their own language. And so when the Holy Spirit was poured out, men had dreams and men had visions, and people began to prophesy, and people began to speak in other tongues, and it was just a miraculous event. And I just want to insert here, brothers and sisters, that this was not a one-time event. Yes, it was a one-time event in the sense that it only happened in that place at that time, but the Holy Spirit is poured out daily on millions and millions of people all over the world, Muslim countries, Asian countries, American country, South American country, and Pentecost is an experience that each and every one of us can have, and each and every one of us can embrace. And so if you want the Holy Spirit poured out in your life, you just ask God to pour it out on you. You just stand, or better yet, even to kneel, and just say, "Lord Jesus, I need you, pour it out into me," just like you did on that day on Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was resurrected. "Lord, just pour it out on me." If it was good enough for Peter and James and John and the disciples and the apostles, it's good enough for me. And just pour it out on them. Pour it out on them, Lord. I just pray that today, that everybody listening to this program, Lord, that you would just pour it out on them as they cry out to receive to you today. Well, miraculous things happened in this band of apostles and disciples who were disorganized, you might say not empowered. When the Spirit was poured out on them, they were empowered to go out and preach the gospel with great power. And in verse 6 of chapter 3 of Acts, we see that Peter and John are walking along, and they go down to the temple and to the gate, which is called Beautiful, and there was a man there who was begging alms. And Peter says in verse 4, Peter, walking along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give the crippled man began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them in the way of alms, that is. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have to give you, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And so that is a picture, brothers and sisters, of people who come to the Lord. That is a picture of those who are crippled. That is a picture of myself before I accepted Jesus Christ, before I let God be the Lord, before I let Jesus be the Lord of my life. That is a picture of all of humanity in a crippled state, in a state of brokenness, in a state of sickness, in a state of bondage to drugs, alcohol, pornography, or many other addictions, of brokenness and despair with no hope. And when Jesus comes into your life, when you accept Jesus into your heart and into your life, you will become that man who is up and leaping and praising God. You will become that man who is full of joy. You will become that man who sheds the shackles and chains of your life and the bondage of your life, and you will walk in newness of life. And just as that man jumped up and he was walking and leaping and praising God, so too will you be able to someday walk and leap and praise God. And it's so much greater gift than silver and gold. And that's why Peter said that to him, is that silver and gold, Peter says, have I none. And he was speaking the truth there, Peter, probably. He was a poor fisherman. You know, his daily catch was what he was living on. And we're in that same situation. Many of us are depending on the Lord, just trusting in him for our daily provision, are we not? For the rain that falls, for the sunshine, maybe for our job that may be a tenuous situation with this economy. There may be threats of layoffs and threats of cutbacks and threats of, cutting hours and what have you. But, you know, God will provide. He is a provision. And so Peter spoke to this crippled man. He said, silver and gold, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But what I have for you, what I have for you in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. What I have for you is greater than any silver or gold could ever be. And so the man received. He was in a position in his heart to receive, and he received, and he jumped up, leaping and praising the Lord. Well, I'm going to jump over to the fifth chapter of Acts. We're going to look also here at a great situation here, another rather supernatural, extraordinary situation. And it talks about in verse 12 of Acts 5, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate them with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number. So the church was growing. The church was building each and every day. People were coming to the Lord. People were accepting him. And that's God's will here on this earth, is that his kingdom come right now. That's God's will, is that we be adding to the church. That's the purpose of this radio message. It isn't to bring glory to me, or it isn't to just fill up time out there on the radio agenda. This is a message for all humanity, for hope, and for a ray of hope in a world that is broken with despair and broken with all kinds of bondage and addiction and broken families and nations that are the whole nations are in grave bondage and great danger. And so this message is to go out to the whole earth, and it's God's will that we add to his number each and every day. In verse 15 here in Acts 5, to such an extent that they even carried the sick out onto the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. And so we see that Peter had such great power that even his shadow was falling on people, and it was bringing healing to them. And so we know the shadow, not just the physical essence of people who have accepted the Lord Jesus, not just the physical essence in the laying on of hands and physical prayers, but also just the shadow of them has power, because the power is the Spirit of God. The power is the shadow of the Almighty God. And so we know that there's power in serving the risen Lord. We know that there's power in being obedient to his word. We know that there's power in prayer. We know that there's power in praising him. And so we can rest assured that the power of God is with us when we walk with the Lord. And when we think about the shadow, I want to refer to Psalm 91, which is a great scripture that I hope all of you post on your refrigerator door. It's a great scripture for us in this time of great adversity here in America, this time of peril, of pestilence, of famine, of sword. And so I know that you'll find great comfort in this psalm if you'll just post it on your refrigerator door and read it every day, pray it every day, speak it into your heart so that fear won't come over your life, that fear will not overtake you. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And there you are, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. He will cover you with his, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the horror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. And so as we think about the adversity and the trials coming up, the swine flu, terrorists on every front, the danger of terrorist attack, the danger of the swine flu, the great plague, the danger of famine and breakdown in the food supply, as we think about these things, if we just pray Psalm 91 and get that down in your spirit, deep down in, that we are abiding in the shadow of the Most High. We are being covered by the shadow of the Lord. Those of you who know Jesus Christ, you are being covered by the Lord. And you just keep praying, Lord, that no evil would befall me, that no plague will come near my tent. And you keep praying that every day, and God will set you aside. God will bless you. He will cover you. And he says he will never forsake you, and he will never abandon you. And so that goes for every situation here on this earth, every situation. He will never forsake you, and he will never abandon you. Does that mean that you're not going to have any tribulations? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have any struggles in life. No, it doesn't mean that. You will be tempted. You will have trials and persecutions, and truthfully, the persecutions may come just from the fact that you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just because you name his name, because there is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved, and the world knows that, and so the world fights against the kingdom of light, because the world is ruled by the kingdom of darkness. And so as you pray for the Lord to protect you, and as you pray for his guardianship over your family and over yourself, just be grateful for what you have, but don't expect to never have tribulation, and don't expect never to have trial, because that's how God allows those things into our life, to build our faith. And God allows those things into our life to encourage us and strengthen us in the way that we can walk closer to him, and we can submit ourselves to his leadership and to his lordship. Well, I'm getting around here to the 10th chapter of Acts, and this is where the Spirit is poured out on all mankind of the Gentiles. We've already seen it poured out on the Jews, and those that are in Jerusalem were primarily Jews. There were some Samaritans then that were given the Holy Spirit also, but the Gentiles, which includes most of us here within the sound of my voice here, most of us are Gentile heritage. We came from European stock, you might say, most of us, not all of us, but most of us. And so this is a scripture that talks about how the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, and talks about here in the 10th chapter of Acts, verse 1. Now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Roman cohort, or the Italian cohort, a devout man, one who feared God and with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. So we see here as a man who had great respect for Jehovah God, a man who knew Jehovah, respected him, gave alms, that is, gave part of his income to the Lord, and he, with all his household, served the Lord. And in the ninth hour, he saw a vision, an angel of God who had just come into him and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter, who is staying with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. And so we see that Cornelius received that vision. God heard his prayers. He said, Your prayers are as a memorial before me, and so I've heard your prayers, Cornelius, and I'm going to answer your prayer, which his prayer basically was, Lord, reveal yourself to me. That's what his prayer was. And God hears every one of our prayers, and if you're praying, Jesus, reveal yourself to me, or God, reveal yourself to me, or Jesus, fill me up with the power of the Holy Spirit, fill me up with that which the disciples and the apostles had, the Lord will fill you up. The Lord hears your prayers, and he will answer your prayers, and he will give you, if it's according to his will, he will give you that which you are praying for. Well, Peter, through a circumstance and series of events and visions of his own, he also was known by the prayers that he was speaking to the Lord, and so Peter received in a vision that he was to go to Cornelius' house, and God just orchestrated all of this just as if he was, you might say, directing a symphony here. He had different parts of the band playing different pieces, and it all came together to produce a great symphony. And that's the way the Lord works. He works through the Holy Spirit in different people's lives, and he brings people together. And he summons some, and he beckons others, and he pushes others away to push them to the end of themselves. And so the Lord orchestrates all of these different pieces in this scenario. And so Peter is down there eventually, and you can read that for yourself because it's rather lengthy in Acts 10. You can read for yourself how this was all orchestrated by the Lord. And so Peter finally goes down there to speak to Cornelius, and Peter takes some of his disciples with him. And it says here in verse 42, and Peter is talking to the Gentiles, he's talking to Cornelius and his people, and he said, "And Jesus ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one, this Jesus Christ, who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, of Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. And so we see that Peter went down because he was obedient, and Cornelius sent for him because he was obedient. And that's a key issue for us, Lord, brothers and sisters, is that when the Lord calls on us, when the Lord places a call on our life, when the Lord puts circumstances and situations in our life that beckon us or call to us, that we be obedient, and say, "Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do?" And then we follow through and we do it. And so Cornelius was obedient. Peter was obedient. And when Peter went down there and preached the word with power, the Holy Spirit came in and it fell on those Gentiles. They began to speak with tongues. They received the Holy Spirit into their heart. They began to speak with tongues. And immediately Peter recognized the fact that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them. And he was probably just as amazed as anybody, because Peter, being a Jew, understood that Gentiles weren't supposed to have this type of teaching and weren't supposed to have the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And yet God had sent him, and he was obedient, and not knowing what the outcome would be, he was just obedient, and he trusted the Lord to do what God had asked him to do. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Gentiles received, and thank God they did, because now we sit here 2,000 years later, recipients of that great blessing, recipients of that obedience, and we can say, "Thank you, Lord, for your great plan that included all people on every square foot of this earth, in every village, every town, every state, every country. Your Spirit has been poured out on all people of all races, people of all religions, people of all economic strata, people of every walk in life have the opportunity to walk with you, Lord, not just here on this earth, but for all eternity. And for that, we are eternally grateful." Well, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and of course, that was not the end of the story. that was just the start of it, and Paul went on to preach, and Peter and John went on to preach, and many were added to the church, and even this day we're still adding to the church. Even to this day we're still building God's kingdom. We're bringing heaven here onto this earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, it's great to serve the Lord. I hope you are serving the Lord out there. Brothers and sisters, I hope that God has put a call on your life and you're obedient and answer that call. I hope you are saying right now today, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you. And if you've never said yes to the Lord, do it today. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, do it today. Let me know about your decision. Contact me at gatheroutcast.com or drop me a line and just let the Lord reign supreme in your life and you will be thankful that you did. You will be grateful. You will be blessed for that decision that you made. Well, join us next week. We'll continue talking about the Holy Spirit. Join us and we'll see you next week. God bless you and amen.